Chapter 39. Dr. Bonacera pulls a small retractable tape measure from his pants pocket. He measures up from the bony knob of my elbow and makes a notation in my chart. You were extremely lucky today, young lady. You risk further nerve damage every time you re-injure that shoulder. Dr. B looks at Jamie. A complication from the surgery she had last summer to treat her chronic shoulder instability. The summer before my senior year, when everyone thought I was at Marie Curie camp at Michigan Tech, I was in Ann Arbor with my aunt. The surgery was supposed to fix my shoulder. I didn't want to risk any injuries in my last year of varsity hockey. We had a shot to be repeat state champions. The University of Michigan wanted me to play on their women's hockey team. Auntie paid for the surgery so it wouldn't show up on my mother's health insurance and used the medical power of attorney Mom had signed years before, just in case anything ever happened to me while I went somewhere with my aunt. The surgeon explained the risks, but I was so certain that my surgery would take care of the problem. I was Levi Firekeeper's daughter. Hockey was in my blood. Seriously? Jamie looks at me. Why did you even play tonight? He sounds mad. I feel like an ant under the glare of a magnifying glass. My team lost because Levi got past my crappy sub, I say. Dr. B looks over his glasses at me before telling Jamie. She's a pistol, isn't she? She's something, Jamie says, pinching the bridge of his nose. Back in the Jeep, Jamie asks where I'd like to go for my birthday dinner. How about cheeseburgers at the drive-in? I say. He laughs. I was expecting something more celebratory. You ever have one of their bacon cheeseburgers? When we get our food and my celebration strawberry shake, I give directions for Jamie to drive past the golf course and follow the river. Turn here, I say, a few miles downriver. It's a trail in the woods, he comments. I know. Just follow it. A branch scrapes the top of the Jeep. My aunt and Art almost bought this lot instead of the property on the island. It's still for sale. Whoa, Jamie says when the trail ends at a clearing with Sugar Island across the river. Right? It's even prettier in the daylight. I hand Jamie our bag of burgers, his iced tea, and my shake. I grab Lily's blanket from the back. Thankful, I washed the smell out of the one I'd wrapped around the meth garbage baby. Come on, dinner and a show. We walk past a stone fireplace and crumbling chimney, all that's left of the house that used to be here. At the end of the lot, I spread the moving pad on the grass at the edge of a steel break wall with a small swatch of beach beyond. Still favoring my injured wing, I ease onto the pad. I take off my clogs and sit cross-legged. Just as I did the day of the squall when we sat together in the garage bay. I wrap half the soft quilt around me and hold out the other half for Jamie. The blanket still smells like campfire. He sits next to me and we tear open the bag with my birthday dinner. The first sip of strawberry shake is the best, I declare, offering the white styrofoam cup to Jamie. He drinks from the straw. You are correct, Jamie says and leans over to kiss me. It's so sudden my smile is captured in his mouth. My birthday dinner continues as we alternate kisses with bites of bacon cheeseburgers and a shared strawberry shake, listening to the gentle waves lap the shore. Several hundred feet away, a freighter silently passes by. Here comes the after-dinner entertainment, I tell Jamie. You know how ducks leave a V-shaped pattern that fans out when they move across a pond? Boats do that too. It's called a Kelvin wake. In a few minutes, the waves from the freighter out there will hit the shore. Well, then let's make good use of the time, he says. This kiss feels urgent, our tongues meeting and retreating. When Jamie moves his lips to my neck, I look up at the stars. My good arm rises so I can rake his curls with my fingers. Donis, can I do that to you? To your hair? He asks at my neck. Jamie remembers the rules we made up on the drive to Coach Bobby's bonfire. Smoothing my hair had been TJ's move, and I didn't think I could bear to have anyone be close to me like that. Especially someone faking it, Jamie is asking for real. Yes, I say to the stars. Rising to my knees, I sit on my heels and face Jamie. He follows my lead. The blanket slips from us as the waves grow louder. Jamie kisses my lips softly as his hands brush against my temples. His kisses grow more urgent as his fingers tangle in my hair. I move my left hand to test my injured shoulder. It is sore rather than painful. I rest my left palm against Jamie's chest. My good arm slides around him. I reach beneath his jacket and shirt to feel the lean muscles of Jamie's back. The waves increase in intensity, strong enough to reach the break wall. A succession of crashes that align with Jamie's deepening kisses as he follows the length of my hair from the top of my head to the middle of my back. As the waves recede, I push against Jamie's chest. Lie back, please. He does, stretching out and reaching for me. I lie in the crook of his arm and pull the soft blanket up to our shoulders. We look at the stars. You missed the Kelvin wakes, I tell him. Worth it, Jamie says, hugging me closer. We laugh. Can I ask you something, Donis? His voice is gentle, but no longer playful. It's an odd feeling for me, dreading his question while also wanting to open up. Maybe I've been so good at being guarded that it's my default reaction? I nod. Why would you risk more nerve damage to play in the game today? I wait for my first response, telling Jamie it's none of his business, to recede. The pause allows me to dig deeper and truly consider his question, as well as what I feel ready to share. Being on the ice is where I feel closest to my dad, I say, starting with the easiest truth. I pretend he's at my games. Something about the smell of the rink and having a stick in my hand, it opens up a memory portal, I guess. We are quiet as the blinking lights of an airplane cross the sky. I like that Jamie doesn't rush to fill the silence, and I can think about what I want to say next. Surgery was supposed to fix the problem. Instead, the upper part of my arm went numb. It was a small portion, so I kept playing. I re-injured my shoulder once during regular season and again during playoffs. Each time, the numbness traveled further down my arm. I sit up and face Jamie. Can you understand how hard it was to give up something I loved so much? Does it make sense now, my giving in to temptation? Just this once. To imagine my dad cheering for me? I trace the length of his scar. Jamie traces my face as if I have a scar there too. I want to be with you, I say. I want you too, he says. But we need to think it through. We're in the middle of this situation and we don't know how it will end. Jamie's comment cuts at me. It's a painful reminder that as much as he seems to fit into my world, he can't stay in it. I've been left behind before, but I was always caught by surprise. I thought it would hurt less if I saw it coming. But now I realize that knowing doesn't lessen the pain. It just gives it a head start. Tonight, I would choose not knowing. For tonight, Jamie, can it not be about that? Can it be you and me in the eye of the hurricane? Tomorrow we'll be back in the storm, but tonight, it's just us. The stars have nothing on this guy when his eyes sparkle. I bring up the necessary details. No STDs, and I have a progestin implant for birth control, but you still need a condom. I don't have any STDs either, Jamie says. We need to swing by a store, though. I kiss his cheeks. Box of condoms in the glove compartment. Courtesy of Lily. I really liked her, Donis. She was a good friend to you. He kisses me back. I nod. The best. He runs to the Jeep and a blink later is next to me. It takes athletic maneuvers to manage the logistics of removing items of clothing while remaining inside the blanket sandwich. We laugh each time the top layer shifts and cool air touches skin. I keep my lips on his, even swallowing our laughter. His warm hands reach underneath my sweatshirt. a tingle from the feathery strokes of his thumbs working in unison. He looks up at me. You sure this is what you want, Donis? We can stop any time. I know, I say. I want this. I shift myself until I find the perfect angle. Nothing beyond us matters. When Jamie groans, I silence him with my fingers flat against his mouth. He chuckles softly and kisses my fingers with such tenderness. He tries holding me in place, but I keep moving until I cry out, and for once, the newer new normal makes perfect sense. I love you, he whispers. No, 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 please, not this. I scramble out of the blanket cocoon, gulping crisp air while pulling on my jeans and fumbling with the zipper. My feet slide back into my clogs. Jamie jumps up as well. He follows me, zipping up his black dress pants. His maroon shirt is open. Shadows dance along his chest and abdomen. His panting makes his muscles ripple. Donis, is everything okay? What's wrong? I bend over as if punched in the gut. Drawing in a deep breath before shouting at my feet, you had to ruin everything by saying that. Wait, you're upset because I said I love you? My nose tickles and my throat constricts. Telling you I love you is ruining it? He repeats. He makes it sound like I'm messed up. I know all about guy lies, I say, rising to face him. It's okay. We can pretend this never happened. I scoop up both blankets and hurry to the Jeep. Behind me, Jamie inhales deeply like he has to steady himself, then rushes up behind me. Guy lies. That's what you call it? His voice rises. Did that tribal cop lie to you? Shut up. This isn't about him. I climb into the passenger seat and turn up the heater. Who else lied to you? He says, walking around to the driver's side. Everyone. I'm fishing with Dad, his favorite spot on Duck Lake. My feet dangle in the water. A leech on my pinky toe. Dad sprinkles salt to make it release, pretends to eat it. We laugh, Dad and me. His face changes as he looks across the lake. Therefore, I must be lying when I say I love you. Jamie shakes his head as if he's sorry for me. His pity pisses me off. You're the biggest liar of all, I say. A tiny voice from somewhere deep in my heart reminds me. That's not true. You know who the biggest liar is. Your lies sound so believable because you don't know what's true. You don't even know which parts of you are real and which ones are bits and pieces you invented for this assignment. It is quiet except for the engine and the heater. Donis, I don't know what just happened. His voice is soft. Why are you pushing me away? Take it back, I whisper. What you said about loving me. Please tell me why. He took me fishing on Duck Lake, I say. I dangled my feet in the water and ended up with a leech on my pinky toe. He kept a salt shaker in his box of fishing tackle, sprinkled salt and told me he was seasoning it. He plucked the leech from my toe and pretended to eat it. We both laughed. Then he looked across the lake at the sunset and got sad. When I repeat the words to Jamie, it's not my voice that I hear. I have to go away, Nadonis. Just for a little while. When I come back, everything will be different. We're gonna have such a good life together. Nide Giyan, Nadonis. You have my heart, my daughter. That was the last thing my dad ever said to me. I'm sick of the quivering in my voice. I make up for it in volume. Don't you know, Jamie? Love is a promise, and promises you don't keep are the worst lies of all.